I tell my inner child I'm sorry for everything you had to go through. It started as a child. I wish that I was stronger in situations that I had to go through. I'm trying to press it now.
Welcome back to Talks with Two, guys. This is episode 3. Today I got a special guest here, Isaac Clark.
Yes.
AKA 32 Icy.
Mm-hmm.
In a building. And he came today to talk about it, man. We gonna hit on a lot of subjects today, but how you doing today?
I'm feeling good. I'm doing good. You know, I'm blessed. I'm saying that's what I've been running with right now. Like, I'm blessed. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Getting this podcast started, bringing people like you on here to come speak.
Okay.
For the people.
I feel special, and I like that. I'm glad I'm episode 3, you know.
3-2.
3-2. Yeah.
So, if you can just introduce yourself a little bit about your upbringing in Nashville.
Okay. Well, I'm a Nashville artist, you know, rap, you know, songwriter. Grew up in West Nashville, Tennessee. If you know about West Nashville, it's the trenches, it's Tetris out there.
Right.
But when you survive it and make it through whatever adversities, you'll come out like a strong, you'll be a leader. You can be a leader if you come up out that environment and learn what you need to learn from it. And I'm a leader from that neighborhood. Everybody respect me from the things that I've been through. Just my whole push, my music. They follow my music. They follow everything that I do. So I just say I just don't box myself in. I can't just say I'm just one thing. It's
right.
Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm a leader. I'm a big brother. I'm a father. I'm a role model. I'm all of the above.
Okay, so let's talk about your upbringing in West Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that growing up in West Nashville? Like, were you in a good part of West Nashville? I'm from South Nashville, so I don't really know too much about, like, the West side.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like, the projects, West Nashville projects was Preston Taylor. They real dangerous, like I said. And it had, like, down, it had the drive. The drive was real dangerous. Then it had, like, up top, like Georgia Court.
Mm-hmm.
But where we stayed at, it was like a mutual zone.
Right.
So it was like I didn't get to feel all the Tetris stuff until, right, you know, I started expanding, going other places. But it was a place where me and my cousins, my brothers, we can thrive at. It was like I was just seeing a lot of stuff. It was kind of like, to me, inspiring. Like, if I see somebody come through there shining or something,
right,
I'm just like, dang, look at that. Like, I want that when I get older. Playing football in the front yard. But as I got older, they tore down the projects. They tore down our projects in 2000. So I was like 12 going on 13, I believe. And my mother started moving around a little bit, like, up the hill from Preston Taylor is like 32nd. So that's where,
right,
the 3-2 Ice came from. So I started jumping off the porch really there and,
right,
experiencing childhood, like, beefs and hatred, envy, and all of, I felt like it was just like a normal thing that I was adjusted to. But I'm like, dang, I ain't understand why people hate. But I,
right,
had a lot of love because my people,
right,
you know, they all about love. My mother and them, my cousins, is like in the household, we had all love. But outside in the streets, I just felt a lot of hatred out there. And I just feel like I had to adjust to it. And one way of adjusting to it, you didn't have to become, you got to be militant-minded out there, like,
right,
coming up out there in that era.
So I was listening to your song, My Story, because, you know I engineered, and sometimes I don't be listening yes, until I really get, you know, outside. But today on my way here, I played a couple of songs from your Gemini project that you just released not too long ago, and one of the songs I listened to was My Story, and you talked about, you know, like you said, jumping off the porch 16 with,
yeah,
drugs. So how did that start?
Well, at 16, my father was locked up in the feds. He got locked up when I was 14, but my daddy sold drugs all my life before I was born and stuff like that. And
right,
I got to see so much stuff firsthand. It was like I was introduced to it by, like, default. It was like,
mm-hmm,
my daddy wasn't trying to hide nothing from me.
Right.
Everything was in my face. So I understood the hustle. And then when he was locked up, it was just plenty of opportunity out there. You seeing people selling,
right,
probably weed and stuff like that. I just never tried to go, like, big time. like what level he was on, because I seen what the consequences was for it. But to get money, I was like, dang, it's easy. I can sell a little weed and make me some little profit. Mm-hmm. And my mama didn't really care for me to go like work a job. She wanted me to focus on school. But I'm like, man, you dealing with dating girls and all that.
You gotta have some money.
Like, you got some money, young. You talking about going on a little date and doing this. I'm like, hold on, I gotta pick up some type of little hustle. So I really got introduced to it through that. And I had my older brother. He was 4 years older than me. So he kind of got to go here first. And I got to see, like, examples from him. And then if he get introduced to some weed or some sex or whatever.
Right.
He trying to break bread with little bro. And I just jumped off the porch then and kind of sold a little bit in school and all that type of stuff.
So how was selling in school? Like, was you afraid to get caught? Like, how was your, like, damn, like, I hope I don't get caught doing this. Like, how was your mindset while doing that at that age? Because 16, like, you ain't 18 yet. You still a minor.
Right. I really didn't even think too much of other consequences. But then I remember one time, because I was fresh. Like, I didn't know how to have the smell or none of that. But I know one time it was like reeking in my pocket, like the weed. I'm like, damn, I'm finna get caught. I gotta hurry up and sell this. So that right there kind of spooked me, because I feel like I can keep smelling, like, even the people around me smoking inside a car. I get out the car and I'm like, damn, man, we gonna get in trouble. So I kind of was a little bit paranoid when I started seeing that. So it just made me kind of be a little bit smart. It was like, if you ain't already got that person meeting up with you before your first period start, ain't no reason for you to be sitting here trying to look for a seal. You ain't on no block or nothing like that. So, it ran its course, though. I ain't get in trouble or get caught with doing it.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, damn, I made $40, $60 today.
And at that time, that was a lot. That was probably a lot.
That's all I need. I told you, I wasn't trying to be Big Meech in school or none of that, and trying to make these stories and say I'm just hustling, homie, like, and all that.
Right. So with seeing the fact that your dad didn't hide nothing from you, like, did you get inspired by how much money he was making and how he was living? Mm-hmm. Like, what did he had? He had cars, clothes. Yeah. You feel me? Like, well, he was really living that.
Yeah. Now I'm talking about, like, my daddy lifestyle. My daddy did it on a high level. Like, when I say, like, flying to California, meeting up with the plugs.
Right.
Bricks and all that type of stuff. But he did have the flashy cars. And I noticed with him having all this flashy stuff, all my friends looked up to me like that gave me a crown. Like, I'm the king right here, because your daddy ran it like, dang, look at his daddy with the rims on there. And his daddy got that beat. And then when he going to go do his hustling, he used to go to Lebanon and supply the whole
Lebanon,
Lebanon and whatnot.
Yeah.
So while he was gone, I'm at the house showing off the dogs. I'm bringing people in, showing his guns. I was like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? Acting like I got it like that. So, and I was, another thing, though, the music that I was listening to correlates with it. I was listening to Birdman, Cash Money Hot Boy. So I know what they speaking of, and I'm like, dang, that's what that is, what Pop's doing.
Right.
So I just feel like That was instilled in me, that flashiness of what my father had. And when my father went to jail, I kept rapping about him, like, Bird, like, I'm bragging about his lifestyle and the stuff that he was doing. So I just embodied that hustler spirit, really, just based off of knowing it was already in me, like, from my dad.
Okay. So when he got arrested and went fed, How was everything after that? Because, you know, you said he was moving, how he was moving, getting it, how he was getting it. Did anything slow down as far as, like, y'all being taken care of financially? Like, how was things in the home after that, or, like, around you, like, in the streets, like, all around?
Really, with my father leaving, that hurt me, because, like I said, I got the flash stuff that it was my normal. So I'm just showing everybody all this, and then I'm like, damn, this guy took it away. Like, he really locked up. And he got a lot of time. Like, damn, this shit wasn't even really worth it.
Right.
And it's like, I couldn't really understand it at all, like, going through it, because, like I said, he was doing that early. Like,
right.
When I was a baby, my diaper bag was stuff
you
inside.
You said that in the song.
Yeah, like, in real life, that's why I said it. So, like, my diaper bag, he had bricks and stuff in there. He ride with me. He used me as the decoy. Like,
right.
That's, and I'm like, damn, father, I'm supposed to do no stuff right. like that when I got older. And my mother, she a beautician. So my mother, like, she been making money off her hands, like, all her life. So she right. it didn't stop her hustle. So she didn't care what his lifestyle had going on.
Right.
We still had balance on this side. My mom, we was the freshest kids in
right.
the project.
Made
so
sure
you would
I
think,
was good.
Yeah, you would think, like, we were still living that life because of that. That didn't lack up on her end because she didn't depend on him. But she know he used to drop money off whenever. She ain't have to never ask for it. So that kind of hurt me to, like, my pride and things of that, because I'm like, dang, my pop's gone. But it gave me I vented that through the music. So you'll
right.
catch those type of stories. Man, and like I said, my mother, she stayed on her toes doing her, like,
right.
She cosmetology. Yeah, that's how that she made her money. She can stop. She can make $1,000 a week, and I'm like, she's doing better.
Yeah.
So I'm bragging about her lifestyle.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna make $1,000. Yesterday, they be like, you stay clean. Like, everybody was bragging about the clothes that I wore
right.
all the time.
And
like,
you still fresh, bro. You know, I say something about the outfit every time I see you. I'm like, damn,
cursed us with that. Like, that was really a curse. But she said the reason she done that was because when she was growing up, she really didn't have. She was unfortunate. Our grandma was getting up good with her stuff, and
right.
so she didn't want us to get talked about. So
right.
she done put these clothes on us, keep it, and then we just keeping up with it. And I'm like, I can't even help myself now at this point in my life. It's always been a part of my life.
Right. So, let's see. So with your mom doing what she's doing and your dad doing, you know, what he doing, they live in two different lives.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that when you was under her care versus under his care? Or was it like all in the same house? Like, who was you with more? Like your mom, your dad? Like, how did that go?
They separated when I was like, I want to say like 5. But my mother knew what type of lifestyle did he live. But she didn't know he had me so involved with it, seeing it like so much.
Right.
Saying, so when she never seen him do so much transactions and stuff. But it just had my mindset like, I know how to keep quiet. I know how to not talk about what my dad was doing outside the household. So
right.
it was like a code of, it's just quietness. A lot of stuff that I experienced, I just never spoke on. I just
right.
like, okay, I seen this, okay, it's normal, but don't say this in school that your daddy sell drugs, or don't come
right.
to your mama like, mama, hey, my daddy just, he just
right.
had this in my drawer. He is something right here. Mama didn't get it out. I thought I lost it. So I feel like just like, With how my daddy exposed me to that same type of stuff, my mother had me seeing a whole different, like, discipline.
Right.
Like, she wasn't going for that. She ain't talking about, don't do no drugs.
Yeah.
Don't join no gang, because if you join a gang, you don't love me. So it was like, we really was, me and my brothers, it's 3 of us, we was real disciplined by my mama. So all her friends, they be like, you got some great kids. Hey, I love your kids. They
right.
good kids. Even though I was raised up in a hustler home, like,
right,
with my dad, but I was more with my mother as well. So it was just a balance. Like, my daddy used to really just come get me on weekends and stuff like that after they separated. So I was really more with my mother, and that's where I really got the real game from her. Like, even though he was who he was, really most of the OG status, the things that come from her, the thinking and all that type of stuff. Like
your mindset.
Yeah, my mindset come from my mother.
So you said you got 2 brothers.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned, you know, seeing your mom smile, but she going through a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So how did, you know, you guys take that, like, knowing that your mom's smiling, but knowing she not, you know, she not happy?
Man, that was a good question. Like, I really always put the pressure on my back to make it out. Like, I'm going to make my mom happy. I'm
right.
going to be rich. I ain't gonna let her down. I'm gonna take
right.
all the load off her. I feel like she was my responsibility, even though
right.
I'm her responsibility. So I always had that mindset. And when I was kind of like in the streets, when I ended up getting to a point where I got in the streets heavy, but I knew that's something she didn't never agree with.
Right.
Like she loved me. She gonna pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
But me changing that around and living the way I live now, she like so happy and like embracing it. Like, dang, you making me proud the way that I need that. Like, I can talk highly about my son. I can say I got a lot of great things to say about you. Just like when her friends come back and say, man, I see your son, he doing some great stuff out there. She bragging and boasting about me now. And I feel like that's what I supposed to been doing, even though I went through all the other stuff.
Right.
This right here stand out more to her. She a proud mom of what I'm doing today. So
what was your mindset like when you were in the streets and doing those things and you know, all right, like, my mom don't really like this, but what made you keep doing it when you were doing it?
Man, it was so dark. It was dark in the streets. Like, I was conscious before I jumped out there. I was like, man, if I ever get like, I'm seeing people and I'm like, man, if I ever get like him, I don't think I'd come back.
Right.
And I was kept trying to stay away from it. And it was like, I think like when I was 14, I was like, I ain't going for none of that. Like, whatever them, the hate and all that, I ain't going for that. I'm going to stand 10 toes about it. And I end up being in a situation where a dude snuck me and my jaw got broke.
Mm-hmm.
So that triggered me because I ain't feel like nobody should be putting their hands on me in the first place.
Right.
And when that happened, it was like I took everything in my own hands, handled it the way I want to handle it. So I went violence with violence, basically. And that was just dark. They started becoming my normal. And I knew I was live. Like, I need to slow down. Like, I need a break, but I don't know what the break gonna be. And I end up getting incarcerated in 2009, and that was the time I got to reflect on all the stuff that I was doing. And I was like, damn, I've been getting in trouble for a long time. Oh, I've been doing this. I've been supposed to this. So I got to reflecting on my daddy, the way my daddy brought me up, the sneaky stuff that I was doing. And it was like, it's on me now to make that change. And I took accountability for whatever actions, whatever I had going on. And I just took that change. And I was like, now I can reflect on it and talk about it, but not brag and boast about it and be like, this is how I'm living. Hey, y'all stepped on this. Now I'm telling you my change. And that's why I feel like a lot of people with my music, they don't know to listen to me because they don't hear me bragging about what I used to really be on. Like, it was dark. Like, it was real dark. So I don't commend nobody to go down that route because a lot of people don't make it back from it.
Right.
To be sitting here to even talk about it, though.
Okay, so you said that you had got into a situation that led to gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And was that what you was just speaking on? What happened, like, when you got snuck?
I did a lot of gun violence out there.
In your submission, like, you said you was facing 16 years for a club fight.
Yeah, so.
So can you elaborate on it?
So I'm gonna say,
let's dive in it. Yeah. Whatever you can say.
Can speak on everything because it's behind me. Like I said, that happened in 2009. But like I said, I bought my first gun after I got my jaw broke.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw
this situation that I'm talking about happened after.
It happened earlier. Like I was 17.
Before.
It happened when I was 17. My first time buying my own. I done came across guns. It's never been my gun. But I bought my own gun.
Right.
And now power in my hand and I'm handling it. Like I said, I'm handling all the stuff that how I wanted to handle it. And when I done that, I'm like, I don't need nobody. My big brother started respecting me. Like, my little brother go off out here. He ain't playing. So any altercation situations I get in is either fighting or the shooting. The shooting became normal to me.
Right.
So we used to go to the club. It was this club called Fuel on off of Broadway, like off of second mm-hmm. half, like where the bombing happened at,
you know, downtown?
Like downtown bombing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a club called Fuel, and we used to go there every weekend. I'm talking about it was like more of like the college scene, everybody mm-hmm. partying, good parties, good music and all that. And the friends that I was around, they was kind of like more of like my soldiers because they was saluting, like, look how he handled everything out here. We love to follow you, like. Like I said, I was the leader, so they all following whatever I got going on. A dude bumped into me. My drink fell on the ground. I wasn't tripping because I'm already been trying to chill and get away from a lot of that stuff.
Right.
Instead of me having a problem with it, my homeboy had a problem with it. My homeboy ended up hitting the dude who knocked my drink out. So they start fighting. And I'm really mad because, like, why didn't he hit him for? You feel me?
Right, like your homeboy. So your homeboy hit
Hit the guy. Yeah, hit the dude who knocked my drink.
So you weren't even worried about it.
No, I wasn't worried about it. I'm like, I'm cool because I don't care to this point where like I'm kind of like humble now. It's like I know what I do, and everybody ain't willing to take it to that level. And like I said, that level is you got to.
Right.
It's a ton of it. You can't like it. Ain't no sympathy for anybody out there. So he doing that. They get to fight. I'm like, okay, they fight 1-on-1. It's cool. We know the security guards and all this. So I can get my boy put. Make him come back in the club. His girl jumped in, and I was like, "Ah, hold on now. Let me make sure they're gang." And then his friend, his homeboy, jumped in and grabbed my homeboy from the back. Now we all have to get in the brawl. So right. They got put. Dude got put out, and I was like, "Hey, let my friend back in the club." Dude was like, "All right, man, tell him put his shirt back on. He can come back in here." So I go to the door. I'm like, "Hey, bro. Put your shirt on, man. You got to come in here, bro. Don't be doing all that."
He
like,
right.
Bit. So I'm like, dang, he ain't came in a little minute. We still partying. We ain't even thinking about him no more.
Right. How long has it been? Like, how many minutes?
It's probably about 10 minutes now. Right. Like, I'm like, dang, bro, he came back in the club. His girlfriend or his little friend, it was somebody came to me. I was like, they out there ganging. His name was Armand.
Mm-hmm.
Armand. So they were like, they out there ganging Armand. So I'm like, oh, man. And I'm real protective. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like, if you my family, that's why people don't see a certain side of me because I don't have nobody around me. When I go somewhere dolo, I'm responsible to me. I know I ain't worried about it. Like, that drink fit, man, I'm cool with that. Everything cool. If I'm my little brother with me, you disrespect him, everybody finna feel it. That's what type of person I was. Like, I'm so protective. So, I go out there. Now we having a brawl, a fight in the parking lot. The fight going on a good 5 minutes. And we used to bring guns down there, like, and keep them in the car.
Right.
So I'm already, like I said, I'm accustomed to shooting. Like, I'm used to that. Right. But I know we got a gun in here, but I ain't really on it. So right. I'm like, man, this fight going on too long. We going to end up getting locked up out here. They keep trying to fight in front of the police and keep on going.
Oh, man.
They had this one dude. He was real big. You see me, I've been slim. And he looked like he played for the Titans or something. Like he
linebacker.
Linebacker. I'm like... It was like four of us. I'm like, and it was like four of them. But I'm like, all four of us gonna have to get on dude.
Right.
That's the only way we gonna win this battle. And dude was like, son, he was just talking crazy. And I was telling my homeboy, I was like, bro, get the strap. But I'm telling him, get the strap to make them gone and leave so we can get in car and get on down.
Right.
So my friend, he's still doing all this fighting. I'm like, bro, get the strap. Dude said, bitch that nigga, if y'all had the strap, y'all would have been done pulled it. I'm like, and then that clicked in my head. Mind you, this is my normal now. Like, right. You got me fucked up. Like, you don't know who I am for real. Like,
right.
My homeboy run to get the gun. He come back with the gun. And I wasn't paying attention to my homeboy going to get the gun because the fight was still going on. And I'm like, why are they backing up for? And I'm like, oh, now you see.
You right, had
and
the
then
gun.
I grabbed a gun out of his hand. And right on Broadway. Like Broadway downtown, like how it be live like that. I got to shooting at that dude down there, and got locked up down there. Like 15 police come chasing me. I ended up getting rid of the gun, but they ended up getting it. This is my first time getting locked up for. I ain't never like used to go to jail and all right. That type of stuff. First time getting charged with something. It's a high case, like high.
So what was you charged with?
Aggravated assault.
Aggravated assault.
Four of them. So dang. All four of them, by being them all being together.
You got four of them.
Yeah, they like, yeah, he done this. He hit me with this. They like kind of
right.
Exaggerated the story a little bit more than it was because the only person I really shot at was
the
big dude. Yeah, the big dude. He didn't even come to court. He wasn't even from here. I think dude was like in the Navy or Army or something.
Mm.
So whatever story they painted up together about him being friends, they came in and was like, yeah, he done this. Like, I'm like, dang, they could have just told the truth and I would have took the consequences off it. Man, they done told a whole nother story. But by them saying they seen me with a gun, they bounded over. When you get bounded over, you don't know when your next court date is exactly. So it's like pushed off to 4 to 6 months. Imagine I ain't never done this much time. And then right. I didn't know before I went to court if the person died or anything. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm facing.
So you
here.
Did successfully hit
Dude got grazed. But it's like I said, they was making up other stories. Like, right. he hit me with the gun. This to happen and this like that. So I was like, yeah. But just still just shooting down there. Yeah. They look at it like, that's too reckless.
Right.
And I'm like.
Downtown on Broadway with all them Broadway. People.
But my mind was, that was my normal. So I'm not thinking like how they think. Right. So when they're like, nah, I try to get a bomb reduction. My bomb was like. $300,000, so that's $30,000 in. You know, we do the 10% in that, you know, that's yeah. the kind of, so that's $30,000. I'm like, man, I ain't got no $30,000 sitting around like, yeah, like for real, $30,000. So I'm knowing I'm not finna get out. So I'm like, yeah, leave. Damn, but I'm glad the person ain't dead because I would have been facing the murder charge. Right. And they bound me over. That was a journey. 4 to 6 months, my court date popped back up. I kept going to court for
so you got 4 to 6 months for that?
No, 4 to 6 months. Oh, I was just waiting for 4 to 6 months, only waiting for
another date.
Waiting for the court date. So I don't know when I'm going home. I'm just in here, just around these people. Like, man, I don't know when I'm going home. And for like talking to people, I'm seeing a lot of people that I knew from the streets. I'm seeing people that I even got into it with before. It's like everybody, right. all these criminal minded people is in here. I'm like, they ain't seen him since school. What, bro? Dang, they call him in here too. Like, and I'm at a high profile, so I'm around. People who got murders and all that type of stuff.
Right.
Mind you, I'm cool, humble, laid back, just about my business. But at the same time, I got a serious ass. So I'm like, all right, none of this can't bother me because I ain't got none of my people in here that I got to fend for. I can fend for myself. I'm cool. They ain't really bothering me. And I don't play about nobody taking nothing. So I ain't getting nothing. I'm like, I don't care how small I am. You're going to think I'm Incredible Hulk in here if you touch anything that belong to me. So with that being said, the jail stuff, I had to adjust to it. I kind of was looking at how certain stuff ran, I'm like, okay, that's how you do that. Okay, that's how you do that. Because I ain't no jailbird. I don't know nobody to call besides my older brother. He done probably a couple months and stuff like that. So just day by day, I'm like, I'm cool. Like, I'm getting back. I'm like, I don't, in a new environment, I get nervous. So I ain't going to tell y'all I went in there like, man, this is what it is. I went in there with my nerves bad. I'm like, it's a new environment. That's just like me going to the studio or anything. Yeah. I have nerves like be bad. So I'm like, all right, get out this mode. How can I get past this? After that, I'm just cruising. Like, I'm making it through. And they end up offering me, my lawyer was like, it's four years for every aggravated assault. So that's 16 years. I'm like, 16 years? I'm 21 at this time. I'm like, 16 years? Man, but I need to get out today. I'm trying to go home. And then, and when he said that, I was like, nah. And then I guess he talked to the DA trying to see what it is. I came back. The next offer was like 6 years at 30%. So I end up taking the 6 years at 30%. And they.
So what is 6 years at 30%? Like you're going to do 30% of that?
Yeah, 30%. Okay. So that's like two years. So that's what I did. So I did.
Oh, yeah,
years.
That's better than 16.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm good. They're like, hey, the next place you go to is going, the food going to be better than this. And I'm like, as long as I'm out of this strict jail and it's already flowing, I already been here now. I can't cry about it. I already got through that phase of like, damn, I've been wanting to go home. Now it's like, you already in it. Like, every step, learn something new. Mm-hmm. And that was my sit down when I was saying like I needed to sit down. I was trying to get away from that.
Right.
It done got too dark. Now I get to see everything for what it is.
Right.
So I was calling home like trying to tell the people that I was around, the ones that I was leading. I'm like, bro, we need to change it up. We done survived so much. They laughing. Like,
right, they ain't taking you serious.
Nah, he ain't taking, man, he gonna real run on the ball. He joking, talking about like I'm preaching. I'm like, dang, I gotta get back into ice. At this time, they were calling me Icy Capone. So Icy I was spelling Capone. It I-C-E-Y at the time, and they put Capone on it because of the street accolade, like the stuff that the streets know me by.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, they got the free Icy mixtape out there. I'm like, nah, let me just sit back, man. I'm going to let them know I'm still with this shit, you feel me? But it was just like my ego and all that was bothered. But I'm like, man, I'm comfortable in my skin now, so it ain't bothering me. But yeah, that jail situation was, yeah, I did 2 years, and made the best of everything when I came out. Like, I wasn't looking back. Like, I can't, it's over for that.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in those type of situations that, like, how I was downtown. Right. Like, yeah, so I changed. Yeah. I changed. Yeah. My
you
ex
came
changed
out.
After that.
You came out and you changed.
Yeah.
So when you got out of jail, how was that impact on those people? Because you always speak about being a leader in your songs. And in one of the songs, I see you said that you mentioned, like, you failed. You feel like you failed them. What made you say that? Feel like that?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. It was like me being a prime example. I didn't know I was a leader like that much of a leader at the time. So when they was following my, I'm like, damn, if I can lead them this way,
you can lead
as soon as I change up what I'm doing, it should be easy because they already following and admired by everything. Like I said, my daddy was a hustler, so that's a thing to give me some credit right there.
Right.
Then I'm handling business and not letting nobody play with me. That's another thing. I'm fresh. I've got my head on my shoulder. I ain't really following too many other people, and I ain't giving nobody else no big homie title over my life.
Like, right.
Because my mama told me don't join no gang. I seen my daddy do it, so I ain't bragging about nobody else's pockets. So it was just like, right. I know who I am, and these two people are my parents, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
The leadership role, I feel like I filled them, and it was certain things that done happened where I felt like I should have been more upfront with them about how it's going, and I ain't talked to them. It wasn't no communication. I just done something bogus.
Right.
I'm like, dang, I don't even like that feeling because I ain't no bogus person. And they put all their trust in me. So when I do that and I feel it's hard on me, 10 times harder on me than it is to them, even though they got to go through the emotions of how they feel with it. So I just feel like I feel some of my homies for situations, some things that I done, like decisions I made.
Right.
I'm like, man, I ain't even speak to him on. I'm going to just go with my move and just leave it at what it is. And then when I sit back and reflect, I'm like, nah, that ain't proper. You feel me? So.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I meant by that.
And I feel like listening to your music, I got a lot of questions because I feel like, you know, you said music is therapy and, you know, we interact on that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I know in prime example, you spoke on like falling out with friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you spoke on just, you know, soul searching in that song, just soul searching and really just finding yourself and forgiveness. So in between you falling out of people and then admitting that you were wrong in situations that you talked about in the song, how did that how was that transitions between like having pride and ego over a fallout versus now you finding yourself and now you, all right, nah, this was me, like taking accountability and stuff like that. So how did you transition?
Oh, man, that was I had to put my defense mechanism down. I used to be like, if I'm telling you, like if I'm coming to you and I apologize and you're like, man, I don't want to hear that shit. And I'm like, no, fuck you. Like, nigga, right. Apologize. So I had to get out of that. Like, quit being defensive and let that person's emotions go through however they feel. They ain't got to accept it right now, but then they probably can look back on it and be like,
right,
man, he came to me, even though if I ain't want to hear it. And then I know I was a person, it was hard to apologize to me. Like, from relationship stuff, I'm like, man, they trying to apologize. I ain't trying to hit it. You trying to say that right now?
Yeah.
You done hurt me. I ain't trying to hit it. I'm bouncing on to the next thing that's going on. But that part of being accountable, like man, that accountability, I knew the growth. I'm like, I ain't never felt like this. That was like the second time in my life I had to face accountability. Like Jill, when I, like, I'm the one that committed this crime.
Right.
It ain't nobody else can take no heat from it. I'm like, that's what made me grow through the jail situation. So when I took accountability on certain relationships, I just look back on, like, anything that bogus. I was reading this book called All I Know About Men. And I can't think of his name, the dude's name. But he used to be married to Megan Good. And that's what he was talking about, accountability. And I'm like, man.
Right.
Accountability, like, dang. Then I was like, dang, I done all this wrong and I ain't apologized. I started calling. I went through a list. I'm talking about, I had me in tears and everything. But I'm like, I'm growing. This the time to grow. Like, you supposed to feel like it's because I really care. Like, I really care. So that was like, it was much needed. And I feel like for anybody to go through that journey when you cut people off, that's the calling for it. Like, God telling you cut them off, it hurts you. It might hurt you more than it hurt them. Like, dang, y'all know I'm hurt by this.
Right.
But I have to move away from y'all. And for
like
me
love
to
love from a distance.
Yeah, love from the distance. Like, y'all don't understand. Like, it ain't, they say you're on the right path when nobody don't understand you. Like, that's the path you're supposed to be on. And you're like, dang, I'm trying to tell him.
Right.
He not getting nothing you saying. Yeah, so I noticed that. And I'm like, damn, look how far I done came. Without me isolating myself away from a lot of people, man, I went all the way up. And I'm like, dang, them conversations ain't the same no more. Like, I can't indulge in that same conversation.
Right.
Even if they ain't grow, but just knowing that I left it on the table of, I apologize, bro. Ain't no ill will. No, I love you. And I can walk away from this like it is. And I hope you find it in your heart or something. But I wish the best for you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm still rooting for those people who I'm not around.
And it take a lot of time for people to realize to get to that point. Like, sometimes it take them to go through some, and then they start to become aware, because that's what I'm going through, like, in my transformation right now. Like, everybody don't understand, but, like, I'm just growing.
Yeah.
But I still love y'all, though, you know, like,
I
still
want to
see you in. Yeah, like, why you acting funny? Like, you don't fuck with me no more? Like, nah, it ain't that. I'm just finding myself and really just finding my purpose and what's for me.
Mm.
Now,
the real ones I understand, like, the true friends.
Right.
Not the ones, like, the some people you'll cut off, they want to do something to you because you don't cut them off.
Right.
Like, damn, you want to hurt me, bro.
Right, because, damn.
Like, because I've moved this type of way, I didn't fake. And then a lot of them people you'll see the fake ones get together and get to talking
down. Click up. Yeah, they click up
and start talking about you. Like, damn, that's all it took. But then that show you how much of a leader you are and how powerful you are.
Right.
And I've been against all odds, so that's my comfortable position. Like, oh, y'all don't like, y'all right. don't know. This is what I thrive off of. So, yeah, but I wish all of them the best, and I salute to them, though.
Man, that's good. That's good. So, I want to get into, you spoke on losing your brother to gun violence.
Yeah.
How did that affect your mental?
Hey, that one right there. Like, I don't even speak a lot about my brother because I don't really come to people and be like, my brother passed. This is what I went through.
Right.
Man, my brother was like, you can have your, just like your brother and the friendship, you like, it'll be separate. Some people wouldn't know y'all brother. Man, my brother like best friends. Like,
right.
We fought it growing up and all that type of stuff, but we end up being best friends and around each other every day. Losing him, I didn't know it was so real that you can lose somebody like that close. Like, I mean, you just sitting right here talking,
right.
And then you gone and everything, like,
right.
Nah, this ain't real. Let me go back to sleep and wake up and
right,
do it over.
Right.
I just kept, it was like everything in me just was twisted up and sad. Like, I couldn't even really fathom it that my brother was gone. And I was calling my mama for her to kind of cope with me, but it's her son.
Right.
But she's so strong. Like I said, like, she a different breed where she like, yeah, she knowing our bond. But my brother told me, though, he was like, if anything happened or anything, whatever, what y'all gonna do? Bro, I need y'all to keep going. I'm like, man. And his way of saying that was like his transition. But but most people took it like towards the streets. Like, if he get locked up, is they gonna keep the hustle going on? I'm like, I'm trying to be cold turkey with it. I went through my jail experience.
Right.
But losing him, like, that's why I'm right here today, because I kept pushing. Like, I ain't give up. Like, it was times, it was like, it was so dark. Like my brother gone, like, for real, I didn't know who to move around, like, who to be around. I couldn't trust people.
Right.
And the closest people to you, like I said, we grew up with that hate and that envy. They plotted on my brother, you feel me? Like, set him up to rob, and then I know my brother mindset. I know he ain't giving up nothing. He gonna fight for his life.
Right.
Me, I'm going to play it off. Hey, nah, homie, you got that. I'm trying to make out your voice. I'm going to catch up with you. Like, I've known, I done done
right.
it. Like, I know how to operate up under that type of pressure. But him, he fought. He ain't go out like no, he ain't go out like no sucking in no form or fashion.
Right.
But that was like, that was the start point of like a snowball effect of I started losing people after my brother passed. Like, so now I'm not, it's like me being numb to death. Like, that was the hardest. Then,
right.
I, like, 2 years later, my cousin passed. And not to skip over this, but I went out a year when my brother died, like a year later. So that transbacked my mind back to that dark.
Like,
this
place.
This the only thing gonna get me back in the streets. I'm protected. It went dark. When I say it went dark, like, you think the shootouts and all that stuff, it was rapid. It was like, my mom don't care about nothing. If somebody got to die, this, that, and third.
Yeah.
So it was like, back to the gunfire, back to what you know. It's a lot of pressure on you, too, especially when you lose somebody to gun violence, somebody take your life. You like, it's a pride thing. Like, dang, they think we some suckers or something. Or, you know, like this. Then people in your ear talking about, like, hey, man, we going to ride. And you like, he might tell on me. He keep on trying to gas me up. If you catch him all your own time, catch him all your own time. Don't keep calling me when you finally see him. Like, you ain't standing on the same principles that I'm standing on. And that put it back, a one-man army type of mentality. And just to try to cope with that, it was just like, they said success is revenge.
Right.
So it's like, I start succeeding doing everything. Like, I'm creating a narrative to his life now. He didn't get to live to tell his story. Mm. He have a daughter, my niece, her name Dallas. Dallas, she 13. But she asked these questions now. She like, how was my dad? How did he die? Like, she got to that question. I'm being always transparent with her. And she loved me. I'm like, dang, bro, I can't even repay you back how you did for me in jail and all this type of stuff. But taking care of her, that's the only way. It's like, so it gave me purpose. It started placing people around me that I know I'm here for a reason. So I can't just crash out because it's all on me. My mama lose two sons by if I go to jail and be gone for life and something like that. So I was like, my mom, like, them conversations with her just kept me focused. And I did everything that I needed to do to, like, get that emotion. I'm screaming in pillows. I'm in the room by myself, crying. I'm doing whatever it take. Like, and then making this music.
Right.
If I had Uzi City and Uzi City 2, those records was really like what I was living and doing. I took them off because that represented a dark place. So if I keep listening to that, it'll bring me back to that.
Right.
So the new music is like I'm talking about.
So you just being intentional.
Yeah, it was intentional. So I took them off. So that's what it was. But yeah, man, that's why I'm motivated by Reginald Clark. You know what I'm saying? My son named King Reginald Clark. So that's keeping his legacy.
Keeping his name alive. During the dark times, did you go to like therapy or anything? Or was it just you had your mom to speak to? That's who you turned to?
Man, I didn't even know really like therapy really exists. But I had a cousin, she always kept telling me go to therapy. And I'm like, hey, cool, I'm not gonna sit down and be talking to somebody about my life. Cause I feel like I wouldn't be open to tell you about this shooting and stuff. I wasn't comfortable to say that. Everything was sacred to me. So you wouldn't know you like, this nigga ain't went through no shooting. This nigga, and I loved it. Nobody didn't know my lifestyle outside of the music and all that besides the people I was at war with and stuff. But I didn't never think about that. I went through it the way I could. What caused me to try therapy was me and my son's mother separated. We split up. And that was like, this is different. This ain't the one I go hurt somebody and take the anger out in that way. It was like, I feel like I feel my family. So that goes back to that feeling again. It was kind of to that situation as well. And I was like, dang, man. That accountability. All I know about men, I was like, hey, I'm finna stand up in this. I'm gonna make the best out of this situation.
Right.
And I was talking to the therapist and all that, man. I would tell him it's all on me. I'm like, man, it's my fault for these type things. He like, hold on. He was like trying to not blame it on him, but like shift it to like, nah, it's not you. Let me see what this situation was. Nah, that person was, I'm like, nah, it's me. And then he just giving me different perspectives of things. And it was kind of like, I can grow in this, man. Like, I appreciate that. But I think I done it for like 2 months, I believe. And after that, it was like, all right, I can start over if I need some more. And I think I'll do it again to see where I'm at mentally, spiritually. Because I be, you know, sometimes you keep pushing. You ain't really stopping and taking no breaks to see how things
are. Trust me, I feel that 100%.
So you don't experience therapy and stuff?
Yeah, like, I'm in therapy. You know, I got into therapy after I got shot.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely, it's something that helped, but you know, music first. Like to us, it's more easy to just vent to the microphone. And that's how I feel like I'm able to connect with you more just by listening to your music. Because if you listen to your music, you already seeing everything really in your music. And that, I know that's how I am. So let's get into like relationships. Like, as far as you say, you got a son. How old is your son?
My son is 7 years old.
Seven years old. So how was it raising your son?
It's like the best feeling in the world. It give you like, you in this marathon, and you know you can pass it on him and get him all the tools he needs to keep on running this race. And generation, like build off a generation. I know he gonna be able to paint his own picture of his life. Like, I get to teach him all the defaults that I had in my life and where he don't have to go experience those things. I ain't never took him to the trap. I ain't never put nothing in his diaper bag and stuff like that. So it's like, I got the great experience to see what not to do through my dad. And my son, one day we had like a conversation. We were praying. And I'm like, son, I'm finna go ahead and pray and say your prayer. And I ain't teach him how to pray. I'm just telling him, tell God this. Man, he ended up talking, saying, I appreciate my daddy. Thank you for everything my daddy done. And it was just like, I was going through some stuff, and it was like validation. It was like peace. And he like a peace space for me, like for real, for real. So he pride my pride and joy, like for real, for real.
Right. Yeah. So how is like his mother like parenting and stuff like that?
We growing. We at the co-parenting. We at the co-parenting stage. Like I said, we was together 8 years.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Yeah, but we didn't have my son until four years later.
Right.
And I'll be having a whole bunch of stories. I know I'll be going on a little rant. I'll keep going. But 2017, I found out a child wasn't my biological child, and I raised him all the way to nine years old. And
so my, was that another child or was
it
king?
Now it's another child. Now you're my biological child. But 2017, I found out this. So imagine, I done went through the jail situation, my brother died, shootouts, all this like stuff that people give up on, like after going through that. The same year I found out that, that's when I found out King was gonna be born. And I was like, nah, this is a lie. You lying to me. This ain't true. And I
so
like,
was this by the same person?
Nah, it's about a different person.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't wanna put but people know my this story. Cause it was like it would be like it hit the social media. I'm like, oh, hold on, man, I ain't even cope with this the right way. And it's like I'm ready to crash out. I didn't crash out about that. But I loved him so much that I was like, I cannot do something that I regret because he don't understand. But me and him got a great relationship.
Right.
Still, like, we'll talk, and I point to him so much stuff because he already had that instilled to him. And I can see traits of my son by the teachings. Like, I'm like, that is how I be operating, and that's why they moved. My son moved the same way that he was moving when he was their age or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a lot.
Nah, yes, that was therapy stuff. I ain't know no, like I said, I ain't no therapist. I was just like, what? How? When is gonna go away? Like it's too much on my. It's too much on my heart.
Right. So you felt like it was too much. Like you was going through too much at the time. Like it was too much on your plate.
Mm-hmm. I made a song. You know, I put it in the music.
Man,
so like,
I know you always dropping.
Look, it was a song called "I Put My Heart In It," and when I said, I can't even remember exactly what I said, but when I performed it, this lady was like, hey, did that story really happen when you were saying the child something? I was like, yeah, that happened. So the lady just became a fan and was just really like, oh, so what happened with it? And I ended up talking to her about it. But I took, like I said, I took all those songs, off or not.
Right. So I know in some of your songs, like you versatile, like you get on, you know, speaking your truth, motivational stuff. I feel like people can learn a lot from your music. But then you have like the soft side, like the love side of the song. So like, what's love for you looking like right now?
Oh, what love looking like for me? It's
like love, relationships.
Relationship, like I'm gonna say what I'm inspired and intrigued by, like a valuable person, like intellect. So it's like I'm on with the dating, so I'm learning so much, and I'm like, I don't want them old traumas to affect my new situation. Like and then I know though, like when I'm dealing with the person, I see a lot of the things back. Like dang, this stuff, dang, I'm some trauma from my last relationship. So it's like going through therapy again, but you kind of can pinpoint. But the person, long as they done their own self-healing, they understand it. Like, I understand that come from another place. That ain't coming from this. So it's like, I feel like I'm learning to embrace whatever is meant for me. Like, I'm even expressing it in music. Because first, like, I feel like everybody express their gangster stuff all the time. They don't know how to be vulnerable and all that. And I'm like, be vulnerable because it ain't a lot of music out there like it. But I grew up on listening to hearing the vulnerable tracks, and I'm like, look, everybody like it. Let me create something like it. So I'm gonna say love is love. You know, like it's so many, it's so many perspectives of love right now, like flowing through the media. But like I value the intellect. I value real people. I value someone who love themselves. So that make me teach me how to love that person. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So as we wrap this interview up, I still feel like we ain't got to talk about everything.
We gotta do a part two
to this. But as we wrap up, like, what final thoughts advice could you give to some of the people that's out here still going through the same thing, like whether it be things with the streets or losing somebody? Like, what's some advice that you would give to them?
My brother told me, keep pushing. That was his motivation to me, keep pushing. And I'd be like, keep going. Like, it's better. Don't give up. Like, when you stop, you don't know it's something on the other side of that door for you.
Right.
Find something you truly love doing. Go find purpose. Go through the counseling, because we all need it, because it didn't seem like it existed to me at a time. Love on yourself. When you love yourself, a lot of your actions are going to change. You won't be in the same places or same situations you used to be in. Just know things ain't happening to you. They happening for you. And just, you know, take the lessons from it. Like, embrace the adversity. Instead of every time bad stuff come, be ready to crash out. Embrace the adversity and be like, God, what you got for me? Ask the question of, like, what's this for right here? I see this situation. It's a whole bunch going on. I know you got something good. And then when that good do come, you'll be able to be like, that's what that was for. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And what's some upcoming projects, music? Like, what's some things you got coming up, got going on?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that. First off, y'all need to get the Gemini. I put that out last month, June 6th. And all other projects, if y'all haven't heard them. But I got Uzi City. Like, I'm remaking it. New right. songs, a new direction. It ain't talking about the same stuff it was talking about.
Right.
And I'm almost finished with that. But I'm going to drop it August 28th. That's the day my brother transitioned. So right. I feel like put that out there in the universe instead of post a long quote right. about something on Facebook. Like, dang, it's coming on this many years. And I'm putting something positive out there and let everybody enjoy the tape.
And you can drop your at social media platforms for the music so okay. the people can go check you out.
Hey, 3-2 Icy. That's on all platforms. If you looking for my music, you can go on to YouTube, go check out all my videos as well. My Instagram, 32nd_icy, ICEE. And subscribe to my YouTube channel, 32 Icy. And y'all gonna catch my podcast and all that on there. So stay tuned.
So shout out to his podcast, yeah, The Rawest.
The Rawest, you know what I'm saying? I got the sauce on right now.
He got the drill, he got the sauce.
Hey, it's coming, you feel me?
So make sure y'all tune in. This will be a wrap with Talks with Two, episode 3-2 Ice. Man, we out here. I appreciate y'all for listening. And yeah. Anybody got a story, anybody done been through some things that they want to come discuss and come talk about, like, come on the podcast and talk about it. We out.
Tell my inner child I'm sorry for everything you had to go through. It started as a child. I wish that I was stronger in situations that I had to go through. I'm trying to press it now.